You always hear the words of music from around the world on WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit. 690 days, 680 at night.
WNZK, good evening, and this is Tom Knight with you, along with my good friend and cohort, Bo Brown.
How are you doing, Thomas? Bo? How are you, Tommy?
I'm having a great time, and I have also Mr.
Goldust Twins.
Yeah, there. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Greg Innes from Detroit Town, and I also, how you doing, Greg?
Good, Tom. Thank you for having me back. We had a great time last week, and I'm sure tonight will be no exception.
I'm sure it will, because you've got all that great knowledge of the 60s and late 50s, and I also have another friend here, Chuck Palak, Mr. Cleveland, when it comes to the charts. He is the Norm and Knight of Cleveland.
I knew you were going to say that, Tom.
Norm and Knight, huh?
Norm and Knight of Cleveland. He collects the charts and has just about, well, he has every song that hit the charts from 1955 to present. There's a man to see you when you go to Cleveland if you're looking for a song. Anyway, we're underway here for our second show on Jukebox Memories. Thanks for joining us.
Missing our good friend The Breeze at the present time, but she's on her way.
She's coming in with the wind.
Okay, if you want to get involved, give us a call. Area code 810-557-3300. Any questions, anything you want to hear for the next couple of weeks anyway. So
you
want to
date
call.
One of the gentlemen here? Whatever.
Sure.
Let's see who's eligible. Ah, Greg is eligible, right?
Yeah, I just recently broke up with a young lady because of religious indifferences. She worshipped money, and I didn't have any.
Is that what it was? I knew there had to be a catch, Greg.
I think she got tired of listening to your Slim Whitman collection. You just can't get friendly with a woman. and it playing was, Slim Whitman.
Yeah,
I'm trying to tell you.
But it was Slim Whitman's Greatest Hits, Volume 4. I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's the one that always gets them, isn't it? First three, they can stand. By the time you get to the fourth one, they're tearing their hair out.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lord, it's going to be one of them nights. Check out for that wild woman. I know she'll be here later, Bobby.
I think we're ready to bust out, if you know what I mean.
Here on WNZK and Jukebox Memories. Hey, you want to get you involved, give us a call at area code 810-557-3300. We are going to have a great time tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. Tommy, we got to come up with a trivia question later here.
Oh, we will.
Last year when the School of Rock and Roll,
that's where all the delinquent in us comes out. Actually, the Gary Miles tune. Gary Miles recorded, I was talking to you, Greg, and Chuck, and nobody, someone says it's Buddy Miles' brother. No, not quite. Gary Miles, do you remember what movie it was from? At least remember that. It was from Circus of Horrors. That song, Look for a Star, believe it or not.
Circus of Horrors.
Gary Miles was lead singer of the Statues, who did
Okay. Yeah, no,
great song. Bell. Great R&B classic, taking you back to, 1960 or so.
Yeah, I think it's 59. But
and he was another one of those, what you would call one-shot artists, because that was pretty much the only reasonably good song he had.
That's right. His wife shot him in the leg.
Went into oblivion after that.
Boy, what a bad aim she is.
She aimed for his leg and got him in the larynx.
Well, at least, of course, it wasn't Lizzie Borden, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but you got to admit one thing about Lizzie. When she set out to do the job, you know, she made sure it was done right.
I'm getting out of here. This is violent.
I can't believe they shot him in the leg.
I don't know.
Well, whatever.
I was only kidding about that.
Oh, okay.
810-557-3300. You can punish or you can test the panel of experts here. And Chuck Pollack, Chuck from Cleveland here. Get up to the mic.
Yes, Tom.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Cleveland. You're a local Clevelandite. We've been hearing about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that actually opened up officially this last weekend. Mm-hmm. How do you feel as a Clevelandite? Are you proud of it? Is there some things you wish they did different?
Well, that's a loaded question because you know how I feel. As far as Cleveland goes, it's a tremendous, tremendous asset for the city. It's a feather in their cap. It was a long battle. They're still taking flack from around the country. A lot of cities saying, why is it in Cleveland? It's in Cleveland because they wanted it more than anybody else did. From that perspective, it's a great thing for the city. Me personally, as a record lover and a music collector, I'm not enthralled because it seems like everything I grew up with, which was pretty much pre-Beatles, is pretty much ignored. This is a lot like the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's what have you done for me lately? And if the people in charge and the people who are making all the decisions don't remember people from that period or are not enamored with people from that period, well, that's why, as we have talked before, Connie Francis, number one female recording artist, not
there.
You're
telling me she's not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Brenda Lee's not in there. Del Shannon's not in there. Gene Pitney's not in there. And as we were talking about it coming up here, Booker T and AMG's, great group. Green Onions was a great song, but quite frankly, I don't think they deserved to be there. But they were on Atlantic Records, and I think as what you're going to find out,
that
museum is really manipulated and run by the labels.
Very good question. No, that's a good question we could pose to the audience.
Yeah, basically, the audience would have to know who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, the Everly Brothers are there, and Chuck Berry's there, and some of the people you'd expect to be there, some of the superstars like, Little Richard and Elvis and the Beatles, but
right.
Who isn't there? If the Beatles are there, why not the Moody Blues?
I do know there was a lot of flack about it even being in Cleveland in the first place. A lot of people thought it should be Detroit.
Well, you got to give Cleveland credit. They jumped on the bandwagon, and they did their homework, and they snatched it away from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And Detroit and a whole lot of other cities that were vying. So
I can tell you too, from one standpoint, that Cleveland doesn't get enough credit for. While they're not synonymous with artists such as the Detroit Heads, the Soul Sound, and the Motown Sound, Philadelphia had, you know, known for a sound. Cleveland has always been very, very supportive of the music industry. One of my favorite artists of all time is Bobby V, mm-hmm. and I've had the great good fortune to talk to Bobby a couple times. And he admits that Cleveland was one of the best cities for him, and Liberty Records knew it. And he broke a lot of records there, and he sold a lot of records there that did better in Cleveland than
Well, I think the Midwest
cities.
In general, because he said that about Detroit as well, and there's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. Greg can attest to it. Never Love a Robin. Well, it's not even right. in his repertoire of songs, but because of Detroit, that was a big, big hit. The flip side, we don't even remember the flip half of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the A side.
I think it's an incredible time. You know, like he said that Philadelphia was known for a certain sound, as was the people coming out of New York and New Jersey. Same thing.
Also San Francisco.
Exactly. Yes. You know, how many people recognize a group like the Persuasions? How many people even know who they are?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's incredible to me. And what a great group. They put out some or Nolan Strong and the Diablos, for crying out loud.
Now, that's pure Detroit.
Yes.
And that's a whole other story, the Fortune record label. Why that label was not successful and why Motown was. What did Motown do right that Fortune didn't? It was all in management.
What Fortune didn't do right, Tom, they didn't sign groups like the Four Tops or the Temptations.
Well, they had groups, though, I feel, that could have been every bit as good. The Diablos, nobody could harmonize like the Diablos.
Exactly.
And they could have been the Four Tops of the 60s. But Motown, they, you know, Berry Gordy, let's face it, he knew how to handle that label and make it a commercially successful label where nothing, you know, I won't mention names, but Fortune Records never had a song other than Village of Love even hit the charts.
Distribution
and promotion, it's all part of it, right?
It was just to pay the people that came in to sing X amount of dollars to do it, no royalties, and let them go on their way. But the Diablos were there forever, as was Joe Weaver.
They did rockabilly, they did blues at that label, they did tons of different music, and it all sounded like it was done in the back of a garage. But it was still good, talented musicians.
No, I agree with Bo when he says distribution, or lack of distribution for Fortune, because people often go into record stores today. How many CDs do you see that are out right now on the Fortune label?
I can't find one.
No.
Out of one. Well, you remember...
I think, if I'm not mistaken, next year is the 50th anniversary of Fortune.
Yes, I believe
that's
true.
Okay, they started around 1946. You would think that they would want to come out with a 50th anniversary box set with a lot of the songs by Nolan Strong and the Diablos and all the other great artists.
But I think you're kind of comparing them to Motown. Motown has the reputation and has the history and has the hits, the national hits, that would make that successful. But for Fortune to put out a box set now, you get out, you know, even though it's an infamous label with R&B collectors, the mainstream doesn't even know how great that label is when you get out of the Midwest. And yeah, distribution, but let's face it, Nolan Strong and the Diablos, don't you agree, Bo? They were such a fabulous group.
They
should have gone on national tour. There was no national distribution at all, right?
The only place that they ever outside Detroit got any recognition was over in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, Tom, even Berry Gordy did not really take care of the unknown personalities from the Motown record label that he had.
He had a lot of superstars that developed, and they ended up... He was the right place at the right time, but he struggled in the early days, too. He had Jackie Wilson and Marv Johnson. Didn't even have a label to put him on in the early days.
Well, he shipped Marv Johnson out on his first recording of Motown, of Come to Me.
You know, right.
So it's...
Even before that, to United Artists his national songs.
So, right.
No question about it. Well, we got the great stuff here. Bo, you got one picked on.
Yes.
AM 680 WNZK, our number 810-557-3300. Give us a call anytime.
In 1954, Tom, there was a group that released a song called G, the Crows. And in my opinion, in the opinion of a lot of people, this was the start of what you call rock and roll. But this is their rendition of Sweet Sue. That's a group that could yodel, Tom. The Crows and Sweet Sue here on Jukebox Memories. Area code 810-557-3300. We got a very good friend on the line, Tommy.
We sure do. The Rockin' Bones, Craig Mackey. How you doing, Craig?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Sounds great.
Hey, give us one of your rockabilly renditions of the...
Okay. It's rockabilly time.
All right. That's Hey, I miss that. I really do. You know, there's so much great rockabilly music. And that's kind of interesting. You specialize in rockabilly. Bo specializes in the R&B. Greg Innes and I and Chuck, we specialize in a lot of the 60s. You put all three of those forms of music together, and there's three forms of music you don't hear on the radio anymore much, do you?
Oh.
And you should hear it. And I just wanted to get a plug in for you. You have a great rockabilly show.
Yes, he does.
Every Saturday night from 6 to 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
On AM 560, Honey Radio.
Greg, you had a complaint about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, just last week on my show, I was complaining that Gene Vincent isn't even part of that.
Yeah.
Well, we got Booker T and the MGs in there.
Rod Stewart and Elton John.
Well, wait a minute. Don't mention that name around me, please. Sorry, Linda.
Oh, yeah. They're good artists, though, but I agree with you. Gene Vincent was one of the cats that really helped to found the music, the rock and roll sound. If anybody is rock and roll, he'd be rock and roll, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I just want to get a plug in for your show and tell you that we listen whenever we get a chance. And also, we're going to play a song by Don Woody. And I know you. I don't have to. I didn't tell you in advance or anything. I can say Don Woody, and you're going to say something about Don Woody, right?
Hey, Don Woody lives in North Texas, and last I read about him, he was managing a Sears store.
Okay.
He got his start in Missouri at the Ozark Jubilee, writing CLO 6200 for Brenda Lee.
Okay, that's one of her early songs in the around 57 or so, right?
I think it was 56.
56 or 57, early days, right, when she was 9 years old.
Bones would know.
Well, name me a couple of his, or one of his big hits, or one of the songs you might remember by him.
Barking Up the Wrong Tree?
How did you know? That's the one I had picked out, and I'm telling you, folks, I didn't prompt this guy at all.
This is the most knowledgeable guy in the field that he's in that I know.
When it comes to rockabilly, well, Don Woody probably will never make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I hope eventually Gene Vincent does.
Yes, he should.
Yeah, me too. So do a lot of people I talk with. Yeah.
You know, technically, I would think Wanda Jackson sometime would have a chance at it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. She was the rockinest.
Yep.
Rockin' his gal.
She sure was. Some of her music was a forerunner of some of the contemporary rockers of the 60s. No question about it. Well, anyway, you have a great, great time out there, and we'll be listening to you every Saturday night. Okay?
Good hearing from you, Bones.
And great show.
Thank you, Bones.
Yeah, we're just kind of sitting around.
For a while.
I'd like to say we're smoking cigars and drinking beer, but we're not doing either. We're just sitting around here and reminiscing about the good old days. So thank you, Bones. Craig Mackey, every Saturday night, 6 to 8 p.m. in WHND AM 560.
Have a ball.
Thank you, Bones.
You too. Bye-bye now. Okay, let's play that song that I said. Bye. Hey there. Boy.
What was this guy's name?
Who? Don Woody.
Don Woody.
See, I just picked that out. I picked out a rockabilly album, and I said, I think I'll just say Don Woody. And what did he do? He picked a song. And here's a call. You're barking up the wrong tree. Ow, ow.
That's a great tune, Don. Nature Boy.
A lot of good people did that song, didn't they?
Cliff Johnson, the Dull Vikings. To my knowledge, Nat King Cole.
And Bobby Darin also, right?
Yeah.
A lot of good people did that.
I do know that, for crying out loud, had his name a minute ago, from Detroit.
What, did the song? Did Nature Boy?
He did a song called Nature Boy.
Oh, Mickey Denton.
No.
Yeah, he did do Nature Boy.
His brother sang with the...
George Denton.
No, his brother sang with the Latin Counts.
Well...
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to bring Mickey Denton's version in just to prove that Mickey did do Nature Boy. He did.
Well...
It was a flip side of... It was on the Big Top years.
Big Top. Great. Del Shannon and the guys and Sammy Turner.
Sammy Turner was on Big Top?
810-557-3300, and let's get away from this madness.
All right. I think Greg has a couple of dedications here.
Yeah. I'd like to say a special hello again to my good friend Dwayne Labakis out in Sterling Heights. He and his lovely wife, Terry Bell, and Michelle, a.k.a. Shelley, are all listening tonight. Dwayne, I've got a couple in a row for you, and we'll start with, Bo, did you have one more thing you wanted?
I remember the name.
You remember Ty
Dwayne? Hunter. Ty Hunter.
Oh, I thought you were Dwayne Labakis. Ty Hunter, yeah. And the Voice Masters, right?
Yes.
Oh, what a great... There's another great Detroit group.
Yes. Anna Records.
Yeah, they never really you know, became too popular outside of Detroit. But boy, in the Motor City, they were something.
Anyway, I didn't mean for you to lose your train of thought.
No, that's all right. Believe me, I lost that years ago, Bo.
He's off the track.
I lost that many years ago. Anyway, anyway, to Dwayne, I got a couple in a row for you, and we'll start it out with the Crazy Auto.
All right.
Gun Will Travel was the name of a man.
Hey, that's not bad.
Not bad, not bad at all.
No, I didn't get shot in the leg either.
Oh, you're going to... Hey, staff, I want you to do something with these guys, please. I tell you, these guys will not let you get away with it.
Want to get you involved in the show? Give us a call, area code 810-557-3300. Thanks to Brian for just calling.
Here come them twisted teenagers.
Who were them guys?
I don't know. Who were them ass men?
Hey, let's test somebody's memory. Greg has got a trivia question pertaining to the last song that we heard.
Yeah, before that, though, let's say a special hello to Becky and John, who just called in a few moments ago. They're listening tonight to Jukebox Memories. Thank you for calling. We just played The Ballad of Paladin by Dwayne Eddy. And that goes out to Dwayne. Before that, The Crazy Auto by Johnny Mannix. Getting back to the Paladin, of course, that was from the TV series many moons ago. And what I want to know, at 810-557-3300, what hotel did Paladin stay in? What was the name of the hotel that Paladin stayed in the TV series?
Who was the star of Paladin? Do you remember?
Yeah, Richard Boone.
Richard Boone, yeah.
Richard Boone, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's a good question. I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
And I used to watch it as a little kid with my pajamas with the footies in them.
Oh, yes.
That's how little I was.
Well, I don't go back that far.
I finally discarded them when I was 20.
Yeah.
They were cozy.
But what hotel did Paladin stay in the TV series that ran back in the 50s? And I guess it went into the early 60s. Maybe some of the reruns. So, again, the phone number, 810-557-3300. Let's see how knowledgeable you people are out there about old TV trivia.
Hey, the mighty 680. WNZK. Jukebox Memories of this thing, Magic Town here. I tell you, we're having a good time just playing music.
Having a ball.
And talking to some friends on the phone, and I have an old friend. He seems like an old friend.
He is an old friend.
Because I...
The impresario.
The
the gentleman that caresses you with his voice after he eats his barbecued ribs and chicken.
Is that anything like an infomaniac?
Yeah, I understand that. It's got to be the one, the only.
Jesse. Hey, Jesse, man.
Hey.
Hey. Oh. That's Jesse.
Right.
Jesse, you are becoming a celebrity. I expect to see you some evening on Bill Bonds being interviewed. You're on radio all over town.
I love to be interviewed.
Leon made the perfect song for him, The Wanderer.
Jesse, I heard you on three or four stations in this past week. I think the only place I didn't hear you was on Dial-A-Prayer.
I got to get that gospel beat in there, too, Jesse. How you been, my friend?
I've been doing pretty good.
You told me you were snapping pretty good today, Jesse.
Yeah, with barbecue ribs, barbecue chicken, macaroni and cheese.
Sounds like Chuck Miller's House of Blue Lights.
I'm going out for a little
candy
dinner. I'll be back.
What did you do, break into a restaurant?
I had some girls cooking.
Well, that's a pretty good deal. That's great.
So what are you going to lay on us tonight, Jesse?
Yeah.
How about a little Pride and Joy?
Yeah, Marvin Gaye.
Oh, my man.
Yeah.
He left us all too soon, but his music goes on.
Just town's own Marvin Gaye.
You better believe it.
And do you know something?
He sang with the moon glows.
Yep. And do you know something about Marvin Gaye? He was a friend of Sam Cooke, too.
Oh, indubitably.
You know, I understand that he was in concert with Sam back in 1964. They went all around, toured around the country as part of the Motown Review, and Sam was in it, and he wasn't even a Motown artist before Sam met with his demise. I think it was early 65.
And Marvin Gaye was on Club 1270.
That's game one.
And he was also on Swingin' Time, too.
Swingin' Time with with
Robin
Seymour and
Robin Seymour.
Club 1270 with Joel Sebastian and Lee Allen
right.
and the horn.
Sure,
got always in when he mentioned Lee, you got to mention the horn because that's two
right.
separate entities.
Are you aware of the fact, Jesse, that when Marvin Gaye came to Detroit with Harvey Fuqua, who sang with the New Moon Glows as he did with the original, that when they formed Tri-Fi Records, Marvin Gaye went out on his own. And Harvey Fuqua right now is the sound man for Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
And you know Ronnie White. You remember Ronnie White?
With the Miracles.
Right. As a matter of fact, that's a good... He was 57, and he died, died last week.
I think it was...
Of leukemia. Yeah.
He was the bass man of the Miracles, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was also one of the nicest of the Miracles. I got a chance to interview the entire group, and he was the nicest one of the group.
Yeah.
Died of leukemia at Henry Ford Hospital. He formed the group with Smokey Robinson, and, became the Miracles in 1955.
Yeah, he was the oldest of the Miracles. He was 17, too. Back in 1955.
Yeah, but Smokey, if I'm not mistaken, the original Miracles were originally known as a group called the Matadors.
Uh-huh.
Then they changed their name to Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, or to the Miracles. So.
That's great.
You late on us, Jesse?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to do it here.
If I could remember, but I can't.
Jesse, we got faith in you, my friend. We got faith in you. Say hallelujah.